Welcome to the Legal Moves Podcast. I am your host, Zachary Strebeck. On this episode, we're going to be talking to Alex Koshikov from Krytivo. He's the developer and the publisher of the Universe Sim and owner of the Krytivo store. Welcome, Alex.
Hey, hello. Hello, everyone.
Did I say your name right?
Yeah, it's good enough. It's a hard last name.
I quite have the Russian accent.
All right. No, it's fine. Yeah, it's good.
All right. So with all my guests, I usually start with their background. So what were you doing before you were making games and working with Krytivo, and how did you end up getting started in the games industry?
Right. Well, I've been basically my background comes as more like a visual designer, creative designer. Mm-hmm. I've been working back in Russia or Turkmenistan. That's where I'm from. I've been working as a creative director in a Kodak company. I've been printing like different pictures, mm-hmm. the photos and stuff like that. And then I moved in the United States in 2008. And since then, I've been working with some of the big companies, like doing some contract work for Universal, Walt Disney, here and there, even with Apple. And then I moved to San Diego maybe like 5-10 years ago, and I continued working in the industry. I work with some of the biggest agencies in San Diego, advertising agencies. And yeah, it's and one day I just decided, like, hey, I love playing games. Why wouldn't I start a Kickstarter, you know, and make my dream come true? And back in 2014, we launched a Kickstarter for our game called The Universim. Mm-hmm. And in the 30 days, we were able to get close to $400,000, which is met the goal. The goal was 320. And since then, yeah, I've been in the gaming business, gaming industry, which is really fun. Yeah.
So you mainly work on the art side, or do you do game design, or what are your roles like?
I do everything but programming. Yeah, I mean, I do some game design. I mean, creative direction, art direction, and system design. So just based on my pretty much knowledge, I'm trying to do as much as I can. Work mm-hmm. with a team as an art director, creative director.
Excellent. So before you guys ran how big is your team on Universe Sim?
Our team, that the development team for the Universim and other projects, is like getting like closer to 20 people, I believe. It's like, so around 20 people right now, including some contractors that come and go at times, you know.
And so when you launched the Kickstarter, what kind of promotion had you done? How did you get to 400,000, I guess is the question. You know, what did you do you think?
It's the Kickstarter is overall very complex, and it's a little bit different now than what it was back then.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think the main goal is for you to be straightforward with your fans, and just make sure that everything that you're showing and everything that you're saying is makes sense and doesn't look like it's unrealistic. Even though we missed some of deadlines from our Kickstarter, but like we're still kind of like over delivering from what we promised back then.
Yeah.
And I believe it's just like all about the quality, you know, like the way you present your project, and just again working with community, making sure that they understand that you're clear with your vision and you understand what you're doing and you can deliver.
When in the lead up to launching the project, did you have like an email list or a Facebook page or something like that with a lot of fans, or what were you prepared with when you launched?
Well, yeah, since then we help multiple teams with a Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. We work with Prehistoric Kingdom. These guys are made like close to 100K as well. And Farm Folks. Mm-hmm. So Farm Folks is like we ran an entire campaign for them and got them like closer to $100,000 as well, which happened just like a few months ago. Like I think it's like six to 7 months ago. And we usually recommend to launch your campaign with closer to, like, with at least 1,000 people in your emailing list. Emails are very important.
Yeah, definitely.
People who subscribe to, who's interested, they like, you should have some kind of links that generate you following base, you know, that you have direct control. So Twitter, Facebook, everything is good, but like, you have a little bit less control there, like on how many people will get your message, you know. With emails, it's like, emails are perfect tool for that reason.
Well, I think that the engagement is different on email versus Twitter or Facebook. People are kind of just kind of zipping through and scrolling through the Facebook and in social media, whereas on email, like, you open it up and it seems like a more deliberate thing, and maybe kind of have the attention a lot more when you email them.
Yeah, emails are very important for us because we're continuing working with other teams. I mean, since our Kickstarter, since the success of the universe, and we've been getting a lot of requests from other developers who's usually like, hey guys, like, can you help us like run the Kickstarter campaign and stuff like that. So we're usually helping teams here and there. Some of them, like, we're like in the background kind of helping them. Like, some of them were very open, we're just like running campaign for them. And yeah, I mean, emails are number one thing for us, kind of like defines a little bit how successful it might be. Mm-hmm. So the bigger your email list is better. And it, as you said, it's like, yeah, that's true. Because like with emails, you're delivering it directly into their email box versus that's going to be, it's sitting there and waiting for them to be written, right?
Yeah, definitely.
When they're going to read it versus Twitter and Facebook, it just can be just passed by unnoticed.
You know? Yeah. Lost in all the all the crap that's on Facebook and Twitter. Although there's a lot of crap in my email box as well. Since the campaign, what's it been like in game development for the last few years? I mean, how's development gone?
Oh, it's been crazy. Yeah, it's a lot of energy, to be honest. Like, again, we missed our deadline a little bit, mainly because like it comes with being unexperienced, you know, like we kind of,
I mean, that's game development, right?
Right. Yeah. Which is, it's very,
their deadline.
Yeah. It's very complex and crazy thing is to make, and especially we chose to make the game like Universum, which is like very complex and crazy. There's a lot of simulations going on behind the scene. And, yeah, I mean, we did our best kind of to project when we're going to deliver it, but then we kind of like felt like, oh, fans are super excited about this, you know, like we're going to do a little bit more than what we promised, and that kind of like put a little bit stick in our wheels and slow down the process a little bit. But we're still extremely happy how we're delivering the game, you know, the quality, the amount of features and stuff like that. So it's been shaping up really well. But of course, it's all coming with a stress as well as like working with community and seeing that, hey, this guy is unhappy because like it's going to take us a little bit extra time or something. So we're very personal with our community, mm-hmm. reaching every single person who's like unhappy or happy and just like talking to them and trying to kind of explain them why and what's the reasons behind all of this. And I guess that's why it's more or less successful, and our community is pretty happy with how the game is shaping up.
And that's great. I mean, do you stay consistently in touch with the community as far as, I don't know, social media posts and still emailing them?
Yeah.
And
things like that? Yeah, we have a marketing director, Andy. She just joined us recently. She's been working with Hi-Rez Studios. She's helping us with posts on social networks, Facebook, Twitter, and of course we use Discord. We have over 7,000 people in our Discord channel that usually talking about our games. And ideally we're trying to post updates about the game and update the game itself like at least once a month, and that helps us to deliver a message.
Absolutely.
Update everyone on time.
Very cool. So another thing that you've been doing since then, have you gotten into, you've started your own store? Yeah.
Yeah. The store is we decided to launch our own store, which is kind of experimental thing. And it's very challenging because you probably, everyone know about the Epic Store and Discord stores, and there's a bunch and bunch of stores. And we as a developer decided to launch our own small store that where we're trying to address the issues of modern gaming or distribution, gaming distribution platforms. We're trying to keep it as fair as possible for fans, where it's like launch DLC free and microtransaction and a premium project free and stuff like that. So, but it's another challenge. Yeah, it's a big deal. So we're still working on it. We have like big plans. So there's a lot of cooking behind the scenes for the store, and we'll be able to announce more changes down the road.
Excellent. So the philosophy of not having paid day one DLC and loot boxes and things like that, is that something that the whole team feels strongly about, or is that your philosophy? I mean, where does that go?
Well, it's overall, yeah, it's kind of like a noble thing, you know, like to follow. Is like, of course, it's a bit damaging for us as like a store, because some of the developers might find that, oh, this is not really profitable thing for us, and we're not going to work with you guys and stuff like that. But for us, we just fear like, so we're just trying to play the role of kind of like the hero in the gaming industry, you know, like where we're trying to protect our fans and do little things to help save them money in some cases, and make sure that they're getting what they're paying for. And because again, I mean, a lot of developers crying about the high percentages with Steam and stuff like that, which is, I mean, it's fair, but they still make good amount of money, you know.
Yeah.
And for some of our fans, like some of the games are cost a lot of money just for them to have fun, and we're kind of trying to help them a little bit with the games that they're gonna get. So, rate them.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm someone that plays some mobile games that have loot boxes and things.
Oh, like yeah. That. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, for me, it's the same. It's like I prefer to kind of like pay. Doesn't matter how much, right? So I just prefer to pay and get what I paid for. I prefer to get the product that I paid for. And then if I paid and then things are stopping me from enjoying the game, and it's just there's like a paywall. So that's really, really unfortunate. And I hate that kind of practice, you know? And that's why we kind of like trying to help. And of course, yeah, all our entire team supports that. It's just a little bit challenging because we're doing things differently, you know? And all that we're looking for is just like the support from our fans, which is we're getting here and there, you know, like they understand and they appreciate what we're doing.
Great. Are you also into publishing games as well? Is that a thing you've
into? It's kind of the same thing as like after the Universum, we've been getting a lot of requests from developers to help them out. It can be Kickstarter, it can be just like simply as like, hey guys, how you develop the games, like what you're doing for marketing, because mm-hmm. of like you getting your project is more or less successful. And we've been helping teams here and there. And then just a year ago, we decided like, hey, why don't we do it officially?
Yeah.
You know, like we can help you guys with things. And we're just looking for the role of your publisher, and we'll help you with marketing and distribution. And since then.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, well, that seems to be one of the most difficult things for a lot of game developers is that the business side of things and the marketing side of things. It's just something that, I don't know, is kind of foreign to a lot of developers.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah. Yeah. We're chatting a lot with different developers on a daily basis. And we see that a lot of them making some of the mistakes, like might think of like, hey, my game is not ready for marketing, or like, I'm going to start marketing my game just ahead of like release or something. So it's usually never too early to market the game, to deliver the message to your fans and update them about how's the development going. We see a lot of, it just comes with experience. We've been doing this for a while, and we established some good connections, and we can help them with good advices and just overall, you know, with the marketing and PR.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you that it's almost never too early to start with that.
Right,
you don't
right.
have to start putting really a lot of money into your marketing, but just creating yeah. content and getting the word out about, I mean, a lot of that is free. It just takes some time.
Yeah, you just need to be, again, it's very important to be honest about this. It's yeah. like, you don't overhype your product, otherwise you're going to be in trouble. I mean, like the old No Man's Sky example is a pretty good example, mm-hmm. but like, it's a good thing that the guys recovered after that, but they had like pretty much marketing nightmare at lunch, you know?
Yep.
And then they just like kind of like fixed things that they promised and delivered what they promised, and then everybody was happy.
Yeah, but even one stumble like that can probably hugely affect sales, right? So yeah. I can imagine. Yeah, the honesty is a good thing. And being realistic about it, especially if you're doing a Kickstarter. I mean, if you're going on there and promising the world, all you're going to do is disappoint people.
Yeah.
If you can't deliver.
Right, right. And this, like most of our developers, like who we talk to, is like their goal is like across the board is just to make more games and bigger games down the road. You know, like, and if you're not delivering with your first game, it's like, yeah, like you're going to have a lot of problems. Delivering all other games and get the trust back from your fans, you know?
Right. And so when developers approach you, I mean, what do you look for in games that you think you would want to publish?
Well, basically we're looking for creative projects and like original projects and just good quality games. So usually like we're not really picky in extent of like genre and stuff. Because we're positioning ourselves more kind of like the entertainment company that delivers entertainment to your living room. And that's why it's like, yeah, all that we're looking is like just like original projects, something fun, something creative. And like ideally some progress, like because there's a lot of people with a lot of ideas, you know, like you can come out of your office and you'll find hundreds of people with good ideas. You know, it's like ideas are cheap. The execution and delivery, that's what's most important and expensive.
I mean, is there a certain point in the development where you want to wait until you kind of see that they're serious about it or that they have the ability to actually finish the game?
Yes and no. In some cases, like we can see is like it depends. It's like if the team already delivered some projects in the past, it's like yeah, we're happy with just like kind of like projection, you know, like so that their plans, that the roadmaps and stuff like that. But if you're just like all by yourself, and yeah, we're looking for something a little bit more concrete because it's easy for one person to drop. Game, you know, in the middle of the project versus a team of six or seven people doing that, you know. It's pretty kind of like organic process. Is like you have to like, there's no like we don't have any hard rules, you know. Like we review and check every single person and chat with them, and it just kind of like, you know.
Yeah, I think
you go with. What do you see?
In law, there's a famous court case where the judge, they were asking about what is pornography or what is obscene. Mm-hmm. And he basically said, I know it when I see it, right? You right. just kind of know it. I think it's the same thing here, right? Like,
yeah, it depends.
It's hard to put specific standards, right? You just kind of know.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a lot like depends on your sales skills as well as like on personalities. Like you can sell. It's basically like, it's a lot of selling, you know, like the game industry, like there's a lot of kind of, because in the past when I moved in the USA, like 10 years ago, I've been working in the sales and at the Citibank, and it, like I learned a lot about sales there as well, because like we've been selling like pretty high interest loans, and I find similarities in the game development as well as like, so you need to know your product. So pretty much you need to know your product and you need to know how to sell your product. So it's very important here. And yeah.
So as far as if you were a new game developer starting today, what advice would you give yourself? What advice about starting the business and starting development and kind of attracting?
Oh man, it's So big, yeah. Well, I guess this, your success is really depends on your community.
Yeah.
Like, as I said earlier, is like, just be honest and be proactive with community. I mean, ask for help. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, just like, ask your fans, like, hey guys, I need you to help me spread the word about this game I'm working on. Because I think that's what helped me as well in the past, is like, I've been doing some YouTube videos and before Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. I've been doing some YouTube videos, some visual design, like photoshopping. I call them like speed arts. And that's when you composite the image and you speed up the speed and put the music and release it. And some of my videos got like over 5 million views. And my Facebook page was like with over 40,000 mm-hmm. likes and several thousand friends and stuff like that, you know? And when I launched the Kickstarter, I asked all my fan base kind of at that time to help me with the project. I have, you know, like, even though like I was honest about that, yeah. not having experience of like in game development. And I just had like great idea, and I gathered the team. Like, we found some great developers, programmers, composers, video editors, and we put everything together, and it looked good. And yeah, I guess it's just like, again, working with community, just like making sure that the community on your side and helping you make your dream come true.
Absolutely, I think that starts with having a product that people want, right? You know, having that right. interesting idea that really grabs people. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. It's like, yeah, like some people have like this kind of interesting ideas, but maybe not everyone sharing the same passion as you might think. So maybe studying a little bit market and see. It's like, it's again, I mean, it's, I don't think that you should actually just like copy somebody who had great success. You know, it's like, it's good to be original and creative, but I mean, same time, it's just like, not everyone have ability like to deliver something that everyone would like, you know? So yeah, it's a lot of trying and seeing. It's like, of course there's some luck involved in this, you know, but again, you need to be a creative person to push all of this. Otherwise, like, yeah, find people that going to help you with certain aspects. You can't be good at everything. Sure. That's the same thing with me as well. Is like, when we work with our teams, like I appreciate all of them. I can't just, even though this is my project, I can't just like go and dictate them how to do things in certain aspects, like programming. It's like, because my knowledge are limited. I'm always going to listen. What do you have to say and respect your opinion on that, you know? That's why we need good people that we can trust and put them as a leaders on certain aspects in your project.
I agree. Well, I think that's going to do it for this episode. Alex, thanks again for coming on the show.
Oh, no problem, Zach. Thanks for having me.
Where can people find you?
Maybe not you personally. I can give you my address, but it's like Criteva is just like Criteva.com. It's Criteva.com. That's our store and website. But we have also Twitter, which is twitter.com/Criteva. And same thing with facebook.com/Criteva. We publish.
It's a nice, unique name.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like kind of like spin-off word. Creative. Yeah, it doesn't really mean anything specific.
Well, that's good. That's perfect. Right? For trademarks.
Exactly.
That's
yes.
The perfect thing.
Yes. Now we're working with you.
Don't mean anything except your company.
Right. We're working with you to secure some trademarks, and we find that not that easy. So thanks for helping us with all that stuff.
It's my pleasure. And so you can find me at gamelawyerblog.com. And actually, I'm going to take Alex's advice and I'm going to ask my fans to help me out. Please share the podcast or leave a review on iTunes if you can, because that's really going to help to build up the audience. And since I'm 100% serious about getting this out every month now, I think it's a good time to ask for that kind of help. All right, Alex, I appreciate you coming on. And listeners, I will see you next month.
Thanks, Zach.